Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Man, before we get into the big fights of the day, let's talk about the big fight over the weekend. Montana's King Kai reigns supreme in Dubai. King Kai in Dubai. King Kai Stewart. Yeah, Great Falls, Montana's own King Kai Stewart with the big bare knuckle fight championship win in Dubai as Conor McGregor wraps the championship belt around his waist.
You had to walk like Conor. You dressed to impress like Conor McGregor. How's it feel to have him put that belt back around your waist?
Man, I was a high school kid. It was after he knocked out Eddie Alvarez. I was in a boxing smoker, did the hands behind my back. Fast forward to senior year on the wrestling mat. We billionaire strut after I won my CMR wrestling tournament. It's pretty cool. I always said that he was going to know my name. Instead, he's my boss. And I'm going to make this company a buttload of money.
Real quick, Conor, give me a comment on that. He obviously respects you. How much do you respect our featherweight champion?
Listen, our featherweight champion, King Kai Stewart, is a unique puzzle. Understand that. A high-level wrestler with toughness and grit to beat the band. That's a tough ask. You think you come in here with these boxing skills, he bull rushes you towards the corner of the shoulder and walk weights, and he's only getting better. The sky is the limit for King Kai Stewart. Well done, King. Congratulations on closing out the show on this monumentous event. Well done, all our fighters. Dubai, let's go, baby. That's how we do it.
Yeah, pretty cool seeing the photos of King Kai Stewart and his girlfriend that he had on some of the traditional garb there in Dubai before the fight. And we've got some of the photos and highlights from the BKFC on our Montana Talks website right now. But yeah, the undefeated King Kai Stewart defending his BKFC featherweight world title for the fourth time and smashed his way to 8-0 with a dominant decision over previously unbeaten South African challenger Tommy the Farmer Stridham in the BKFC 72 main event. All three ringside judges agreed on the 50-43 verdict after the Great Falls, Montana product. Stewart dropped Stridham twice. And like I say, photos and highlights on our Montana Talks website. Yeah, it was cool seeing King Kai fight at the Fusion Fights last summer in Missoula over the weekend, and then he ended up joining us live on the show that following Monday back home in Great Falls. Speaking of fighters and fight news and Montana, what about the UFC? I saw a great report from Kyle Hansen with the Montana Television Network. Sugar Sean O'Malley is returning to the Octagon to try and reclaim his title belt. The UFC announced here less than a week ago that the Helena native is going up for a rematch with Merab Dvalishvili, I hope I pronounced that right, at UFC 316 in Newark, New Jersey. So there you go. There's the fight news. Now the Montana fights, we'll talk about that next.
It's time.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yep, all these shut up and wear your masks fascists were out on the streets of Bozeman. They were out on the streets of Billings. Of course, they were out on the streets of Missoula. And they were at the Capitol in Helena. They always call you a fascist, but yet they're the ones who tell you to shut up and censor your Facebook posts or throttle your old tweets or things like that, or tell you to shut up and wear your mask or shut down your church while they kept Planned Parenthood abortion mills up. But they want to call you the fascist. What is it with all of these left-wing activists still wearing masks? right? The fake COVID mask that never did anything to stop COVID or anything like that. They still notice how many of these far left activists are wearing these masks. I think Darren Dobbs said it well. He has a great write up at the Montana Sentinel website talking about the hands off protest at the Capitol in Helena. He estimates there were about 700 people there. But why do they wear masks? Well, A, it's a political statement. But B, they want to hide their faces. They don't want people to know who they are, especially these out-of-state paid activists who show up at all of these things. I mean, it's the same type of people that show up at the gun control rallies, that show up at the radical transgender rallies, the same people that show up at all the radical environmental protests and rallies, the same people that showed up at the BLM rallies attacking law enforcement and trying to defund the police. Remember when I talked about the rich liberal white kids that you see at these rallies with their BIPOC signs? BIPOC supports defund the police. BIPOC, for those of you who don't know, it means Black Indigenous Peoples of Color. Yeah, like some rich liberal white kid is going to tell us what Black people think or what Native American people think. The white liberal kid that thinks that, oh, Indigenous people of color support defunding the police. Actually, Native American leaders in Montana have been calling for more law enforcement on the reservations, not less. But yeah, but anyway, but here you go. It's just a straight up, just a cornucopia, a carnival of all these crazy left-wing activists. And it sounds like, too, based off of what Darren Gobb told me, a lot of these older folks that are at these protests are just your die-hard old hippie washouts who, you know, the greatest thing they think they accomplished in life was showing up at Vietnam War protests and treating our Vietnam veterans like crap. And so this is them reliving their heyday, reliving their glory days by showing up at their hands-off protests in Helena or Missoula or where elsewhere. But yeah, like I say, great write-up at the Montana Sentinel website. Of course, another big story over the weekend deals with the split in the Montana Republican Party, especially in the Montana Senate. And this was the headline from the Daily Montanan, which is a liberal blog, but has an interesting write-up here. Montana Republican Party censures 9 GOP senators, no longer considers them Republicans. The members of the 9 said they back a conservative agenda and that they answer to Montanans, not the GOP party. Here's from this write-up. The Montana Republican Party has censured 9 state senators and will no longer consider them to be Republicans. But the senators say they hold firm to the conservative mantle and the party should not insert itself into legislative business. The censure calls out the 9's unprecedented alliance with Senate Democrats as a coordinated scheme to undermine the GOP leadership. In an extensive letter to the head of the state GOP, Senator Josh Kassmeyer, one of the 9 Republicans who's been voting with the Democrats on committee assignments and key rules changes, and then on some policy things like Medicaid expansion, for example, he said his responsibility is to the people of Montana, quote, not party bosses like you. Let me see here. Yeah, from the, and then I'll go to the Montana GOP's official statement here. They sent out a press release. I believe this was later Friday. The Montana Republican Party is strongly rebuking 9 Republican state senators who have frequently aligned with Democrats, creating obstacles for the Republican majority in the Senate. Montana voters elected a strong Republican majority last November, expecting leadership that reflects their choices. On January 6, 2025, the first day of the 69th legislative session, and continuing to this day, 9 Republican senators have partnered with the Democrat minority to overrule Republican leadership. These actions have undermined the will of the people and created a de facto 27-23 Democrat majority in the Senate. And then the GOP called out the nine Republican senators, Jason Ellsworth, Wendy McCamey, Gail Lammers, Josh Kassmeier, Butch Gillespie, and Greg Hunter. Here's more from the state Republican Party press release. Montanans voted for Republican governments, not compromises that shift power away from their elected majority. We believe these nine senators at times prioritized personal and political considerations over the broader priorities of their constituents. Their actions have contributed to a shift in influence that does not align with the platform they campaigned on. We encourage all elected leaders to stay true to the commitments they made to Montana voters. All right, coming up after the break, what's your thoughts on this? What's your take? Or do you have something else you want to talk about? We've got the phone lines open for you, 406-294-0970.
You need to know if you sold a home in 2024. I'm Hillary Varsky with your Fox Business Tax Tip coming up.
Hey, I'm Trey Gowdy, host of the Trey Gowdy Podcast. I hope you will join me every Tuesday and Thursday as we navigate life together and hopefully find ourselves a little bit better on the other side.
Listen and follow now at foxnewspodcast.com.
If you sold your home last year, you might be eligible for a tax break known as the 121 rule. To be eligible to exclude up to $250,000 from the capital gain of that sale, you must have lived in the home as a primary residence for at least two of the last 5 years. If you were married, that doubles to $500,000. Capital gains taxes on a home owned for five or more years are about 20%. Those owned for less than 2 years is closer to 37%. It's important to note that even if you sold more than one home, that money can only be deducted every 2 years. Hillary Barsky, Fox News.
Montana Talks, where you get the mic. Call in now at 406-294-0970. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
Yeah, definitely want to get your phone calls today. Tomorrow, we've got a busy lineup. We oftentimes keep the phone lines open every Tuesday in the 9 o'clock hour. But tomorrow, we got a great guest who's going to kick off the 9 o'clock hour. He was basically the top chaplain for the entire U.S. Army, but a lot of his career as a chaplain was spent in special operations and working with special forces. In fact, he became the SOCOM chaplain at one point in his career. But he's going to be here in Montana tomorrow because he is the keynote speaker for the Billings Christian School banquet tomorrow night, and I get the honor of emceeing that banquet. But I spoke General Soljum, Tom Soljum is his name. What an incredible guy. What an incredible story. I got to catch up with him about a month or so ago, and wow, his remarks are going to be awesome. So I can't wait for you guys to get to hear him on the show tomorrow. And then after that, Governor Greg Gianforte will be with us on the program. All right, into the phone lines we go. Let's go to Grandpa Lou in Billings. First up, Grandpa Lou, what's going on?
Oh, good morning, my friend. And I just wanted to comment on those Republican senators that are voting with the Democrats, and they keep saying that they're not answering to the party bosses, but we the people are the ones that voted them in to office because of their conservative Republican views, and for them to reverse all their things and vote with the Democrats is pretty much a disgrace. So on March 25th, I called all seven of those people on their cell phones and left them a message to vote against that House Bill 275 for the giving the learner's permit or whatever it is to the illegal aliens, the driver's license thing. The only one that called me back that was man enough was Dave, was it Bedley?
Out of
House District 86 out of Hamilton. And I told him, and he called back and explained why he's voting with the Democrats. And I respectfully said, I disagree with you, but at least you were man enough to call me back and explain your position. But none of the other ones have ever returned my phone call.
Interesting.
And thank you for all that you do, and thank you for your service, my friend.
No, thanks for your service. Yeah, Grandpa Lou, you know, if you're still there, too, I mean, I just want to get your thoughts on this. See, my thing is this, like, okay, if early on in the very opening days of the legislature, you know, if some of these nine, you know, were frustrated because, you know, they got pigeonholed into effectively no committee assignments, but then the committees were changed, olive branches were extended, and so why does the fight continue? I know some of these nine, you know, they really wanted to get Medicaid expansion across the finish line. It's not really expansion, it's just continuing what was already in place. But you got that. So, again, what are you fighting for? What do you keep fighting this fight for? And that's why it's like when you're deliberately undermining your party caucus leadership. And right now, I mean, everything, you know, some of the key, some of the most important, you know, objectives of the legislature right now, property tax relief, income tax relief, judicial reform, all three of those are up in the air right now. And so they could be about, you know, and it's all because of this division that's taking place. So it's like, you know, so again, just undermining your caucus is also undermining the entire legislative session.
I think they totally disrespected the voters, and I'm very disappointed. And I hope to get primaried.
All right. Grandpa Lou, thanks for the call. Great to hear from you. I did see in this in this quote here from State Senator Tom McGilvery, the Senate Majority Leader, because then the question is, okay, so the Montana Republican Party has rebuked these nine. Well, so what? If they still feel they have the support of their constituents and they feel they can, you know, look like they're standing up to the party and that plays well back home, they'll keep doing it. But either way, what about in the meantime here? Senate Majority Leader Tom McGilvery, who has been very frustrated, as we all know, with these nine for undermining the caucus, will he go so far as to disavow them as Republicans? Senate Majority Leader Tom McGilvery out of Billings says he will continue to work with all 32 Republicans and talk with them daily, given the limited time left in the session. He said, quote, "I'd like to see us come together and get as much good legislation as we can out of here, so I'm not disowning anybody. I cannot look at a group of Republicans and say, you don't belong to us anymore. That's exactly a way to destroy what we need to accomplish for the good of Montana people." All right, next up on the phone lines, let me see here. I think we've got, yeah, Marilyn in Lolo, listening to KMPT. Marilyn, what's on your mind?
Good morning, Aaron and everybody. So this morning I was listening to Real America's Voice, Steve Bannon, the War Room, and he's saying that Steve Daines is gathering together some other Republicans in Congress to come against Trump on these tariffs. And that's because, and I think we all know, Steve Daines has had money interests in Hong Kong and China. So, Paul Daines' office and the staff there, I mean, make sure when you leave them a message that they're actually listening to you, because I asked him, I always do this, I ask them to repeat back the message that they're going to give to Daines, you know, of what I said, and usually they're like dumbfounded. And last time, a few have caught on to, okay, it's Marilyn Hatch, she's going to ask me to either listen to what she says but, and actually take it down, but this morning, this guy wasn't even listening to the thing I said. Anyways, all Daines' office, he's going to go against Trump. He's trying to get some other, I mean, we've had rhinos, you know, this is back to the Montana rhinos. We've had rhinos, I'm 74 years old. I've been fighting against rhinos my whole Republican career and voting for Republicans. And we as voters need to get tougher about how we listen to them when they're out campaigning and the questions that we ask them and the follow-up questions when they don't answer our questions, and just really scope out as to who they are and who we're voting to get in there. And I know sometimes we're, you know, left with the choice of the devil or a rhino Republican. That's unfortunate.
I'd be interested to hear more of what Bannon is saying here, because, of course, you know, Senator Daines has been very close with President Trump. He was the earliest backer in the Senate of President Trump's presidential race heading into 2024. And President Trump basically just sent Senator Daines over to China, not only to address the fentanyl crisis, but also to combat this massive trade deficit that we got. So I'll have to see what remarks or what's going on in behind the scenes that led Bannon to say that. I know he's long been critical of Senator Steve Daines. Now, what I would say, though, is look, if what I would anticipate is that I think you're going to start to see more folks come together and say, okay, hey, what are some ways that we can provide short-term assistance, especially to the agriculture community, if there are, some short-term pain, because we expect long-term gain, but what do you do about the short-term pain? What type of assistance might be able to come together, kind of like back in President Trump's first term, you know, when he was trying to address the trade deficit with China. Then he leveraged a short-term assistance program to the ag community in the meantime, and so I suspect that maybe that's something that's being worked on here. But either way, I think point taken. Marilyn, thanks for the call, because I did see I got a message here from Christian Orms on X. He CC'd the whole delegation on a post on X. He says, don't get in the way of what the administration is doing to reshore and level the trade playing field. The old ideas gifted our citizens $36 trillion in debt. You want Albertson's workers and their great-grandkids to pay. We don't need cheap coffee cups from slave labor overseas, especially when they put up barriers and fine our companies billions. I mean, it ties in with what Ag Secretary Rollins had to say. Secretary of Agriculture Brooke Rollins was on with Jake Tapper on CNN, or Fake Tapper, as the Trump administration calls him. But Jake Tapper was doing the old tap tap taparoo dance, and he's saying, "Well, come on, the Europeans, they don't have tariffs against, you know, American meat producers." He referenced pork, but, you know, the EU has been anti-beef and anti-American beef in particular. So he tried to do the old tap-tap-tap-a-roo with Secretary Rollins and say, "Oh, come on, the Europeans aren't putting tariffs up against our meat producers." And she said, whoa. I'll play the audio for you coming up here in just a second. But first, let's go to Lee in Kalispell before we get to the break. Lee, what's on your mind?
Yeah, I want to talk about the pre-release center that they have just got through okayed in Kalispell. The sad part of that whole thing is that they took it before the Board of Adjustments 6 months ago, and they were turned down. And then they got back in and had another meeting after that. And then two weeks ago, they had another meeting. And the reason this third meeting was that state is going to, the Department of Corrections was going to sue Kalispell because of error to the
So just to be clear, you do not want to see a pre-release center built in Kalispell.
No, I want to see one built.
You want to see one built? Okay.
I do not want to see it right down here next to a park.
All right, hold that thought. We'll come back to you after break. Hold that thought.
This is where Montana talks ag with Lane Nordland.
The Food and Ag Policy Research Institute at the University of Missouri has released its 2025 U.S. Ag Market Outlook. And the outlook for the U.S. farm economy is characterized by two competing storylines. For producers of many crops, net returns are down sharply from recent peaks as output prices have declined more than input costs. But the cattle sector, in contrast, is experiencing record prices and returns to cow-calf producers. At the same time, uncertainty surrounding domestic programs and trade is unusually high. Corn prices, which peaked at $6.54 a bushel in 2022 through 23, are projected to average $4.23 a bushel for the crop harvested this year. Egg price volatility will also continue depending on the prevalence of future high-path avian influenza disease outbreaks. China's finance ministry, as expected, is going to place a 34% tariff on all U.S. imports starting on April 10th. This was in response to duties imposed last week by President Donald Trump that totaled 54%. China says the U.S. actions violate international trade. The two nations remain at odds over fentanyl flows into the U.S., which President Trump cited as the reason for earlier tariffs. U.S. soybeans are expected to take the biggest hit from China's retaliation. I'm Lee Nordblond.
From Mondakistan to the Flathead, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, we got the phone lines open for you. Plus, I got the chance to catch up with Kurt Almey, Montana's U.S. attorney. There we go. Sorry, that music is a little loud for you guys there, probably again, or maybe it was just too loud in my headset there. But all right, so yeah. So I got a chance to catch up with Montana's acting U.S. attorney, Kurt Almey. You know, we've been talking about the need for more federal law enforcement, especially on our reservations here in Montana, especially after this invasion of illegal aliens was allowed over the last 4 years. So what does this surge of FBI personnel mean when it comes to Indian country here in Montana? Got a chance to catch up with Kurt Almey. I'll share a little bit of that with you here in our statewide show. First, though, let's go back to Lee in Kalispell. So Lee is talking about a new pre-release center in Kalispell, Montana. Now, Lee, tell me if I get any of this wrong here. I asked Grok, which is the AI platform embedded in X now, because it's a lot better than Google. You try to Google search stuff, and Google spends more time and effort to not give you information or to give you bad information than Google does giving you good information. So here's what Grok says. I said, where would the new pre-release center in Kalispell, Montana be located? And then they summarized about 15 different news stories here. The new pre-release center in Kalispell will be located at the site of the former Greenwood Village Inn and Suites on East Oregon Street in the Evergreen area. The 90-bed facility for men proposed by the Montana Department of Corrections is set to move forward following a settlement agreement with the Flathead County Board of Adjustment on April 1st, just a few days ago. Lee, did Grok summarize it well? And then I understand you said you're not opposed to having a new pre-release center in Kalispell. You just don't like the location. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's because they're within about two blocks of a youth group home. They're within two to three blocks of the city park. It's right down in where everybody is at, residential. It's got a trailer park right next to it, a bunch of older people are in it. It's just not a good place for it. They don't have enough room to really put in an extra site. Exercise yard or anything like that for them. And for the $7 million that I understand they're going to pay for it, they've got land on the outside, you know, on the outskirts of our city that they could put $7 million on that and build themselves something that would maybe not hold 90, maybe it only holds 60, and then they could expand as they want if they built it right, make an expandable one. This is a wood structure. This is one that'll probably run down in no time. I think it's just a very poor thing. But the biggest problem I had is that the Board of Adjustments in their bylaws and on their procedures say that if you get turned down, you cannot come back for another year. And yet we have them come back twice, threaten to sue, and now they get it okay. I don't understand how that can be.
Yeah, interesting. Well, I appreciate hearing your thoughts. Yeah, I wonder if there's anything that can be done at this point, or if it's all set to move forward right now. But yeah, location can always be a challenge with these sorts of things. I mean, that's one of the challenges. For example, in Billings, on the other side of the state, is that you have all of these services, pre-release centers, homeless services, and many programs that do a good job or are needed and necessary services. But I know one of the complaints has been that a lot of those services are right in or so close to the downtown area that they feel like it ends up harming the downtown businesses and the downtown experience as a result. And so the argument has been, well, why not build more of these things further out, right? So I appreciate your phone call. Great to hear from you. We know the Flathead is listening to you right now on KJJR. Let's see. Speaking of the Flathead, we got Frank. Speaking of Evergreen, we've got Frank in Evergreen next up on the phone lines. And we've got phone lines open for you as well. 406-294-0970. Frank, what's going on?
Hi, Aaron. Yeah, I'm talking about the BMW and the Jaguar Land Rover, the BMW that are being blocked in sales in the United States. It was last year. The Senate investigation showed there was a Chinese company that was buying, where they bought the parts for these vehicles, and from a company that used forced labor. And, the Land Rover, they say, is the safest vehicle on the road because it's never on the road. It's always in the shop being fixed, But regardless, every time you go have anything done mechanically to a Land Rover, it's usually $2,000, even if it's just a headlight.
That's the challenge with some of those exotic cars is that the harder they are to find, the harder they are to maintain and to repair, and it can be quite costly. So these foreign auto manufacturers are trying to figure out how they navigate this this tariff back and forth.
Yeah, I wouldn't want one. That's all I could say. I'm American all the way on my vehicles, and I'd rather have carbon dioxide coming out of my exhaust because it puts out fires. Same thing in a fire extinguisher. I just want an accelerant like oxygen coming out of my exhaust.
All right. Well, Frank, thanks for the call. Good to hear from you. Yeah, this whole trade issue, I don't know if you guys saw this. Here I am trying to, read through all the news as much as possible. I should probably play that audio clip too. Anyway, I saw the premier. They don't have governors in Canada. Well, Trudeau, he was being called Governor Trudeau for a little while. They have premiers for their provinces, right? The premier of British Columbia was on Fox News. Let me cue this up in the right spot for you here. Actually, let's just roll it right out of my AI software here. That'll make it easier because then I can cue it up at the right spot. So the premier, David, is it Ebby? The premier of British Columbia, he was on Fox News and he was talking about, our lumber industry. Well, let's roll it for you.
Well, we just learned yesterday that our softwood lumber industry is facing a doubling of tariffs. We sold about $7 billion of lumber to the United States last year. It's 1 in 10 sticks of lumber used in the United States. Those are going up probably by about 50% in cost for Americans as a result of this new import tax. Obviously, huge anxiety among timber producers in British Columbia and in Canada as a result of this.
Yeah. What about the anxiety among timber producers in the United States of America? This is the whole thing that gets me here. It was like when these newspapers had a big story about, tariffs are going to raise the price of paper for all of us newspapers. And it's like, well, if you newspapers did a better job supporting our timber industry here in Montana instead of constantly using your paper to prop up the radical environmental groups that trash our timber industry, maybe you wouldn't be so reliant on foreign timber for foreign paper. Maybe we'd have our own timber in America. Maybe we could make our own, you know what I'm saying? And so here's the premier of British Columbia. And look, he's doing his job for his people, but President Trump's doing his job for our people. But here he is saying, well, man, Canada, we did how much? What did he say? How much business did they get? $7 billion with a B. They sold $7 billion of lumber to the United States last year. How many timber mills have we lost here in Montana? How many timber jobs have we lost here in Montana? How much revenue and income have some of these western Montana counties in particular lost because of the decline in our timber industry? And so what have we seen? We've seen our own government with these leftist judges backed by these leftist newspaper editorial boards trash our timber industry, force our domestic timber industry out of business. And then now, who is out there cheerleading on foreign businesses? And who is out there undermining the president of the United States who's trying to bring this business back to America? The very same press that's been attacking our own industries, our own timber industry, and more. All right, let's see. Next up on the phone lines, who do we got here? Let's see here. We've got Connor in Bozeman. Connor, what's going on?
Sorry, I was just getting ready to cut some Montana timber into firewood for the local folks. But that $7 billion in timber that they sold here, why don't you go back and look at how much they stockpiled when our tariffs expired a few years ago, the tariffs that got the mill in Townsend closed down. And now that mill, the parent company, had to sell to the last big mill in Deer Lodge to keep their second mill, which is in Livingston, open after the fires they had a couple years ago. Canada doesn't give a crap about us. We don't need to be given a crap about them. When you drive into Montana on I-90 coming from Idaho...
Hey, hold that, thought, Connor. Hold that thought, Connor. Man, I hate to have to take a break here because I know you're going on a great roll here. Hold that thought, Connor and Bozeman. I want to come back to you. Yeah, I've gotten a call from him before. He knows what he's talking about here. Stand by. Back in 2 minutes.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, what a great caller on the phone lines. That's why I love open phones, because you never know who's going to call in. You never know what's going to happen here. I just thought, you know what? I need to play this clip of this British Columbia premier. I'm going to lose $7 billion from the United States of America. Canada has been subsidizing their timber industry while our federal government has been attacking ours. Man, we have ranted out about that for how many years now? I got to say, I share Connor's frustration here. Connor, if I'm not mistaken, a while back I was talking about the L.A. fires, and how some of the very same people who, you know, complain about these fires are some of the very same people who oppose common sense policies to prevent these fires from breaking out on such a massive scale in the first place. And I was talking about how there were some environmentalists in Bozeman who wanted to block a fuel reduction effort up the canyon, which was designed, it's to save your access to your drinking water, your water supply, that if a massive fire were to break out of there, the city of Bozeman would lose their water supply. And if I'm not mistaken, wasn't that you that called in and said, hey, I'm up here right now, we're working?
It might not have been me. I don't do any actual logging myself.
Oh, okay. That was somebody else.
I buy logs from the great loggers we have.
Okay.
They've been trying to prevent, you know, fires from going through the high lake drainage for multiple decades that have been fought and fought and fought. And I've sold firewood for over 15 years here. I don't do a lot. I'm just me by myself. But I notice the stuff that's going on. When you drive from Idaho into Montana on I-90 and you're up there around St. Regis and Superior, you're still kind of in the Idaho country up there. It's a lot more timber, a lot thicker timber. It's where they can still do a lot more logging and stuff grows back a lot quicker than it does around here. But they have signs asking you to buy Montana lumber, buy USA products. And I've watched those signs every time, years and years, coming back from skiing at Lookout Pass. And Canada literally stockpiled their lumber. They just had yards and yards and yards full of lumber that would make any mill Montana has look like child's play, waiting for our tariffs to expire. because they know how slow and inept our government is, and they knew it would take a miracle, which came in the form of Trump, to start using the tariffs as a negotiating tactic. And that's what we have to do. But on top of that, you got to pay attention to the forest. I drive to Big Sky almost, I don't know, five times a week taking firewood down there. Right now, me, just being a local, paying attention to what our trees look like. When you're driving from Gallatin Gateway to the south, you can see a swath in the timber where they log from Little Bear over towards Highlight. And this is nothing but North Basin timber. It's the healthiest timber we got. And there is a swath of red dying trees. And this isn't just old growth that's dying. This is 25-year-old lodgepole taken off like weeds from the Purdy fire that burned there in, like, I think around 02. And that those young trees are being wiped out. Whatever's killing it, it's something is killing hundreds and thousands of acres of trees up there. We need to be on top of that. We need to manage this resource. The loggers were the ones who used to do that back in the
day.
Right. They saw something hurting the forest. They were the first ones to get in there and save it. And now we can't do that because of what? The big R, regulations.
Yep.
Get rid of the regulations.
Look at all those protesters in downtown Bozeman. Hands off. When they say hands off, they mean hands off their slush fund. Hands off the money laundering that's funding all their radical environmental groups with your taxpayer dollars to shut down our timber industry. When they say hands off, they mean hands off responsible management of our forest. They just want to keep letting it burn and letting it disease, right? Hey, great to hear from you, Connor. Yeah, I was trying to remember, who was that logger that called in that one day? It was awesome. I'll have to remember. I'm sure one of you can remind me, because I got a message on the app after he called in. Next up on the phone lines, nice surprise phone call here. This is Representative Albus from House District 28. He's out of Hinsdale. Great to hear from you, Representative Albus.
Well, thank you, and good morning. I'm just great to listen to your show again. I'm just headed back up to the downtown today. We got more at 1 p.m., and we'll have to do a little voting. So, as I'm traveling, I thought, well, I got a minute here. I'll just call in and see what's happening, and it sounds like the lumber industry is back on top.
Yeah, it's a little hard to hear you. I don't know if you're on Bluetooth, if you can pull over and take it off Bluetooth, but we'll try to hear you as good as we can. What do you want to share with regard to, you know, the timber industry, et cetera?
Well, am I any better here?
That sounds better. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, great. I just wanted to say it's amazing the number of phone calls that you get. We sit on the floor, we're debating different issues. The left wants some cheaper housing and some affordable housing for people. And all the activists call us and email us and text us continually that they don't want the forest to be logged, managed, and used wisely. And that's how you get the housing prices down. Make building prices cheaper. Let's use some of this lumber for something rather than let it just rot and fires burn so hot that it sterilizes the soil so nothing will grow for 30 or 40 years. And it just amazes me how the other side thinks compared to ours.
Yeah, wasn't it Bill Maher on his HBO program? He's a, you know, big leftist, but he was saying how now he's having trouble getting his roof rebuilt because of all the green regulations that they're still forcing people to have to fight through to rebuild in Los Angeles. And yeah, those activists, they don't want cheap housing. They just want you and I to pay for their house. While it's hard for most people to pay for their own anymore with property taxes, et cetera.
Oh, it is. And we're trying hard to find some property tax relief out here, and it is looking bleaker and bleaker all the time.
Oof.
And until we can, I think everybody's going to have to come with the realization finally that it's going to take a sales tax in this state in order to fund a little property tax relief. Because they've killed mining, they've killed logging, all the industries that used to produce big, big tax revenue for the